It's Social Web Cafe. Got your favorite drink and ready to sit back and relax? Okay, here we go.
Motivating magnificence, inspiring innovation. This is Marketing Momentum with Charles and Deborah, your weekly checkpoint to encourage the marketing momentum that is within you. This episode of Marketing Momentum is the fifth in the Next Level Success Social Commentary series of six episodes. Join Charles, Deborah, and Wade now.
The smile on your face, the look in your eyes makes my...
Okay, I like the hat, Charles.
Actually, it's a compromise, right? My wife will not let me get on Hangouts with my hair uncombed, so I have to wear a hat.
Well, that's good. So is she watching?
She said, you cannot get on there and look like that. Huh? No, she's not. But she said, please do something. So I did. I compromised.
That's good. That's probably a peaceful solution.
Yeah.
Well, hi,
so what's
Charles.
What's your topic?
Wife? Oh. I'm sorry. I know she has a name. And you know what? You don't have to say that publicly.
She's Laurel.
Laurel, okay.
No, well, yeah, I mean, well, and it's interesting because she has the YouTube channel. Well, she doesn't do it anymore, but she has a YouTube channel that has thousands of subscribers. I mean, like, I don't know, like 4,000 or 5,000 subscribers. So here I am, you know, like Mr. Big Time Marketer. My wife gets in for like 7 months. She's got 5,000 or 6,000 subscribers, and you know, AdSense money, you know, flowing like this. And I'm saying, that's not right. It's not supposed to happen like that. and she took like zero of my advice. Like everything I told her to do, she did the direct opposite, and then that's how she got it to be where it was.
Isn't that what we wives do, though? Our husbands say one thing, we go do.
I don't know. I don't know if that's what you do, but it wasn't supposed to happen like that.
We might be talking to the wrong person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she should probably be sitting here. Right?
She's like a big-time couponer, though. I mean, she hit on something that just, like, really resonated with people.
Yeah, it was, right? Yeah, yeah. And she was kind of not necessarily really the big cheese. But the interesting thing is everybody who's in it, and it's like – and it's male and female, and they're folks from all over the place, United States in particular, they all watch each other's videos, and they all watch each other's videos – with rapt attention. So one person finds out something, they all go and watch that one video, and then somebody else finds out something, they all go watch that one, and then it's all new the next day. So somebody comes out with a new video because whatever you put out a week ago, that's old. They put out one, she puts out one new, and she's instantly got, I don't know, 1,000 people to watch it. It's amazing.
Wow.
The whole thing is amazing.
So that's a whole nother group, a whole nother network. I mean, that's different from mommy bloggers. And by the way, I just got corrected. I've talked to a mommy blogger who her tagline is International Mommy Blogger, Kelly Miller. But then I talked to someone last week that says you're not supposed to use the term mommy blogger. So I don't know if that's PC, not PC. But couponers are whole – is that a subgroup of mommy bloggers or is that a whole completely different group?
I think they're calling
that different.
It is. And to call it a subgroup, yeah, it's more like a subculture. They have their own language. I mean, they've got their own. I mean,
hey, they got like, their own TV show.
They have their own TV show, exactly. And it's not. Yeah, and it's not women, right? So there are a lot of dudes who are. I mean, that's what they do. They go and they coupon. So yeah, I mean that thing is like. It's got a life of its own.
I just offended men everywhere if I made couponers a subgroup of mommy blogger, and mommy is generally a female, female gender. Sorry, guys.
Shoot, I'm a member of that blog her community.
Cool.
Yeah. Now, tell me, did you go to the convention though? Did you go to the event?
No. I actually signed up under whenever I first started blogging, because that was the one thing that kept popping up whenever I would do my searches. Mm-hmm. Now my searches have changed drastically, but I saw it as an important place to get your content out there, and so I joined, and I think I was the only male blogger in there, to tell you the truth.
Right, right. I mean, but dudes do blog though, right?
Yeah.
You and Andy do.
Yeah, I know a lot of dudes that blog. We need to create a conference to blog him.
Right, exactly. Dudes blog, yeah.
Yeah.
See, now you could do that, couldn't you? Yeah, blog him, blog her. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That somebody's got to be doing that already, though.
Yeah, it's probably.
Okay, you got me going a completely different, because I'm like thinking the man show, and can I admit this on air that I've watched the man show? I don't know if that makes me a weird woman or what, but I was not offended, so maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think it's offensive, though. I think it's funny. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched it all the way through, but what I've seen of it is just pretty funny. But, I mean, you know, I'm a guy, so maybe that's why I find it funny.
That's why you like it.
I this could go on for a long time, but I think that if women are going to do something that's exclusively women, I really believe that men should have the right to do something exclusively men. That's just – fair is fair. That's just mm-hmm. – come on, guys. Cheer that on. That was, like, for you. That's for the team.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not commenting. I'm not going to get comments on it. The girl can say it, but no, I'm not. Okay, moving right along.
Want to be a part of Social Web Cafe TV's family? We are here to help entertain and provide you with the resources and the latest scoop. Subscribe to the Social Web Cafe TV Insider, free at socialwebcafe.tv.
Yeah, now I've noticed that you use Storify, Deborah. What's the benefit to Storify? I get it when I see it. I get it when I see it.
Oh, no. The honest opinion or the same? No, Storify is great. Okay, it's a great tool. It's free. I'm going to be honest. I'm not ready to pay the premium. I think it was 60, unless it's come down, $60 per month or something for the premium Storify. Sorry, Storify, but until you prove the functionality, I'm not paying for it. I'm going to keep using the free. Honestly, I think there should be a competitor out there because there's a lot of improvement needed. There's a lot of kind of funky access, database errors. And granted, that's been several months. I think that was almost a year ago that they had that. But there's just some glitches technology-wise that do not thrill me. So, and you know, I'm usually Pollyanna, nice about everything. I'm being honest. Storify needs to improve. But for free.
So what is the goal of it, what does it ideally do for, you know, let's say now you're a video marketer. Right, you are a video content producer. So for a video content producer, what does Storify do?
It depends how you look at it. For me personally, it's not the right solution, because Storify is really cool in the sense that you can search for things on different networks. You can search on the internet. You can search Twitter. You can grab it all into one story. And that's the idea behind it, is that you create a story, and it's not just about Twitter. You can grab pieces from all over. But what I find is it actually takes me longer to try to figure out what I'm searching for to add to the Storify than it does to just create it in the post, especially nowadays where everything has embed codes. I mean, you can go to Pinterest and you can embed a pinnable graphic directly from Pinterest. So it takes me less time. If I'm going to put together a post, I know what I'm going to put on there, and I just go grab the pieces and put it all together rather than sitting at Storify and say, okay, now what do I want to add? What do I want to add? But it works great for Twitter chat archives, because you can just go to the little Twitter tab, search for that hashtag, add them, reverse them so they read in order of, you know, the welcome everybody all the way to the end, add a couple graphics and post it. So I use it for the Twitter chat, and it works well for archives. If someone misses the chat, they can go visit Storify and actually read through the chat.
No, I get it. I get it. Okay. And not that that's the end of the world, but it in terms of services per month, that's an interesting price point. Yeah. You would think that it's got to be really kind of really bringing some heat.
Yeah, I'd pay them, you know, $5-$10. You know, if they said, hey, no more free, because I do use it, so I do appreciate it. But to me, it's not worth $60 because it's too buggy. If I have to run the risk that I put the story together as an archive, and let's say I've got all these posts on my website that say, all right, you can see last week and the week before that, and then all of a sudden there's a crash, and that's gone off Storify, and now it looks really bad on my posts because the archive is blank. That's too buggy for me. And by the way, a couple tips. Maybe I'll remember the second one by the time I'm done the first one. But capture the HTML code of your Storify. Like right now, if you create a Storify, unless you have a business account, if you want to put like a slideshow on your post on your website, that's great. But all it is a JavaScript, which means that if they have a database problem and that post, that Storify content is gone, it is gone forever. So what I do is I put the cute JavaScript, the nice looking slideshow, but then I also capture the HTML and I put it on the page like in a NoScript. I know that's getting really techie, but that way you have it for SEO purposes. It's searchable. And I forgot what the second the second tip is. That's next hangout when I remember. What's the other Storify tip?
All right, now do you use it, Wade?
I've used it one time. Another story here. When I was first started blogging, I think I was blogging for about 5 months, and there was a man that was very nice to me, and so I said, "Hey, you know, I've heard about these Twitter chats, and would you mind doing one with me?" And he said, "Sure, I'd love to." He said, "Would you like for me to invite two or three of my friends?" I said, "Yes, I would love to. You know, help the conversation going along." And 5 months into it, I had a Twitter chat that consisted of almost 700 people. And that nice man that was talking to me, still my friend today, was Marcus Sheridan. And he invited Brian Clark, a coffee blogger, and even Rand Fishkin came in. And I said all that to say this. This man, Marcus, took all this stuff, all the tweets, and he put it on Storify for me. That is as far as my experience goes with Storify. As far as using it myself, I've never used it. I have seen it, but with everything else that I'm doing, I haven't saw the need to do it yet, you know.
I think it's more, you know, I use it so that people do have the archive, because a lot of times people can't come to I do three Twitter chats a week. So people saying, wow, I can't make it this time, but I really want to hear about the chat and I want to read it. So as an archive process, it works really well.
Yeah, it's definitely be a good idea for, people that do want to catch up.
Okay, so it does provide an archive, basically, from a Twitter perspective. So if I missed your show that you do with DaVinci, I could go and I could pick up that Twitter chat by looking at an archive someplace and kind of follow the flow, if I understand you right.
Exactly. And different people do it different ways. Like on mine, I do the slideshow, which also links to, so you can read it in the long form. But then I pull out some highlights and do a summary post. So it just depends on how much time you want to put into, putting it together. But yeah, I find it handy to refer back to Storify. It's like, wow, I remember that somebody made some comment on this particular Twitter chat, and what was that again? And so I'll just pull up the Storify and look it up, because it's all in chronological order. It's supposed to be in chronological order. That was the second tip, is don't expect perfection, because sometimes the results aren't quite, you might be looking for a specific tweet and that might not have come through in your net that you cast within the Storify system. So don't expect that it's going to grab every single tweet, although generally it does. And there'll be repeats. If there's retweets, it'll look like there's like five of the same person. So just understand that it's not perfection.
Want to learn more? Take Deborah to coffee for 75 cents per week and hear her tips on proven action steps to move your business forward in success.
I talked to a guy today on a hangout, and he was a healthcare.
I saw that.
He said, you know, I came out and I did internet marketing. Yeah. He said he'd been doing internet marketing, didn't work out. So he went to work at his parents' insurance agency. So he brings all of his, you know, all of his kind of aptitude for this stuff and applies it to this. And Deb, you and I have had this conversation. How realistic do you think it is that, you know, these guys who are really running a business, right, are gonna actually embrace this? Because on the one hand, there's him, right? He just embraced it totally. They're the guys who are on, let's say, they're on LinkedIn, so they already sort of get it, right? But what about the folks who are not, let's say, on LinkedIn? They're not necessarily connected in those places. I mean, do you think that they are going to be the ones? Are they going to get it? They're going to be coming to the hangouts. They're going to be using them for their business. You know, just in terms of, you know, who you run into, who you talk to, what are you seeing? Are you seeing that they're getting it? Or are you seeing that it's still an education process?
I think if you're going to be an individual, now I didn't catch the whole thing on what he was talking about. If he just takes the hangouts and broadcasts just himself, or if he brings other people in.
He brings other people
in. Okay. Because if you're just going to be yourself, I think go for the high-quality camera instead of doing the Hangout, because there is a degradation process as far as doing it in Hangout. You can actually do a higher quality. And someone that does that, he's a keynote speaker, Patrick Schwertfeger. And you don't have to spell that, because his domain is bookpatrick.com. But he actually has a process where he gives tips, and they're kind of from his package deal that he and his different programs that he does as a keynote speaker. And so he'll do several videos, and he'll even show video tips and so forth. And that's worked really well for him. Obviously, he gets paid really well for his keynote speaking, and he gets to travel and all that, so he doesn't require that, you know, that there's a monetization on each video. But it creates that traffic that he needs to get the exposure. And also, when he's going to go speak somewhere, he can say, go check out my website, got all these videos. But if you're going to have engagement, I mean, definitely Hangout is an advantage for that one. I think it depends on the industry and how you use it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, he's clearly going to be in a good place as, you know, at least here in the States, as we kind of go forward and we're trying to figure out what to do about health insurance. I mean, you know, we even took 5 minutes on the call. We said, okay, let's talk a little bit about this thing. I would almost think that's going to be in the right place with this at the right time. You know, as the voice that people either, for whatever reason, they start recognizing, you know, as somebody who's on health insurance, and they can find them on YouTube.
Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, we talked about like the actionable authority on Marketing Momentum. And your point on that one, as far as you are the expert, and even if all insurance agents out there are not doing it, he's going to be the one you think of when you really want to hear about it. And he sounds like he's enthusiastic about the topic. So, I mean, maybe people don't want to hear about insurance 7 days a week, but when they do want to hear about insurance, just like the tax lady you talked about, Charles, where maybe it's not ideal. Maybe people don't think tax lady hangout or insurance guy hangout, but if you're looking for an insurance guy or tax lady, not that it has to be gender specific, obviously, but it's like, where do I hear more? They're going to be ahead of the game, I would think.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still toying around with the idea of and Wade, this has kind of been a bit of a conversation I've been having both with Deborah and some other and the folks even who are in my community as to, you know, is it a good thing to go out to a small business owner? Right, and I realize that is such a generic term, but somebody who's got a brick and mortar something, right? You know, is it a good thing for me as a consultant to give them the opportunity, or either set them up, you know, to be able to do Google Hangout? And because the guy I was talking to yesterday, his name is Ben. For the most part, his whole business model, a significant part, is he shows them the benefit of doing that. He goes and sets them up, right? And then it's just there as an advisor. But for the most part, you know, once he set them up, just from a revenue perspective, that's sort of where he is. He ends it, and he's making a nice name for himself just by doing that. And you know, the folks who he is talking to, they understand it enough that they don't mind paying.
See, I think that's the key, is you got to find buy-in.
Right.
But okay. Yeah, I get it, right? I get it, and I get how, you know, there's just not a lot of folks who are using it, but that they can. I'm wondering how easy it is to be a man on the street. But I mean, it's like everything else, I guess. You know, I will not know until I go out and I start talking to people in Central Pennsylvania. And I show them my laptop and I say, here, you can do this too, or however it is that I build up the value, you know, to them. But I do wonder whether or not it's going to be the people who are already connected online, the people who are already on LinkedIn, and maybe they're not on Google Plus, but they sort of understand that they got to have this presence on the web, and they're already doing it.
It seems like it has to be almost their vision. Maybe they don't have 100% of the vision, but at least part of the vision, where you're helping them in that last mile. Because I helped someone with a Twitter chat. It was massively successful. It was wonderful. But then the next week, there were less people there, and it was like I needed him to see the long-term benefit of the Twitter chat as branding. And I've seen it work. I've seen my blog guest is very successful with the Twitter chats. And it's not always about numbers of participants, but it's like I look at the people that are retweeting and the articles, and what Ann Smarty does with that is massively successful for her. But people have to be able to see – and we've talked about this, Charles, as far as consistency. You can't just look at, well, I did it for 2 weeks and it wasn't quite the return that I wanted. You got to like kind of commit to say, hey, I'm going to do this for a while. And I think it's the same thing with Hangouts. You have to be able to commit to say, I'm going to do this. I understand that maybe I'll have no viewers, but I really believe that this is going to work for my brand.
Yeah, sure. You got to look at the long-term aspects of anything.
Now, Wade, you haven't always been doing Hangouts. When did you start really making it a part of making a concerted effort to do them?
Last week.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. Yay! I like. Go away. We're proud of you.
Well, I've done Hangouts before, but as far as on,
yeah, I love it.
You know, on a schedule like this, you know, I would do one here and there. And every month, Andy and I do a community Hangout. And so I don't really count that one, but, you know, I have done them before, but not on a schedule.
Join in this week and all weeks at socialwebcafe.tv, socialwebcafe.com, and don't forget to look us up on iHeartRadio.
This may not be news, breaking news, but it's news to me, and I'd like to share it with you guys. I stumbled upon Glenn Alsop's blog.
Sure, please.
I don't know if you guys have heard of him or not, but it's viperchill.com. Mm-hmm. And this guy is a very respected – I mean, he's a young guy, but he's very respected in the search engine optimization world. I mean, he's built an empire around what he knows on Google. And he said something interesting. He says the people that say build good content and focus on growing your brand, all that sounds great, and it's what people want to hear. But for a huge percentage of search phrases, that's no longer relevant. So he basically negated everything that Google is saying about content, build content. And you just have to read it. It's viperchill.com/new-SEO. And, I mean, the whole thing blew my mind. I've read it three times. And it talks about how people are – how Google's algorithm is grabbing the freshest post on a topic, which may not be the most accurate or relevant post, but it is one post that has, you know, it's the newest post. And so he says their algorithm is tweaked too far to the right, and it's causing people to he proved that some people have a WordPress plugin that change the dates of publication, so Google will see that is a new post. Basically, it's changing publication dates, and you just have to read it. It's crazy about everything that I knew about good content and building the brand has been thrown out the window as far as SEO goes.
I think that's the key thing, though, is when you say SEO, as far as, I don't know, maybe I'm being too Pollyanna, but I would like to think that at the end of my life, that good content counted for something.
I think it does count. I think it does count for some things. But he shows a lot of examples about how Google takes, well, for one example he takes into effect that really showed me what it was about was if you typed in the search result WordPress SEO and you type that into your Google search, Yoast, Juice DeVault, that creator of Yoast plugin, gets the 1, 2, 3, 4 gets the top 5 spots. And while Yoast is a great plugin and I use it a lot, it doesn't deserve 5 out of 10 spots on the first page of Google, and it's just, I don't know. It just kind of aggravated me and I wanted to share it.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I did a call with Christine O'Kelly, and she's one of the partners over at Online PR News, right? And so they're press release site, and she was talking about the big picture of SEO, right? And I did my best to try to clarify what she was saying, and I don't know if I did a great job of it or not. But her thing is that it's that when we say good content, she thinks that we are moving closer to what has been traditional PR. That the content is kind of driven, because when I first got into and I am not your SEO guy, right? I'm just not. I have read a lot, I've studied a lot, and I follow I read everything that the people at ThemeZoom put out, just so I can sound smart when it comes to SEO. But I don't really know the experience.
No, I understand it's what you're talking
about. I just talk about it like I am. But that being said, her thing was that when we say good content and that's what's important, it's not in and of itself. She's saying that the web itself is toward, if you're going to be visible, you need PR. So it's almost as if that when we got into doing their marketing, we were told that popularity was not the most important thing. It was relevance. Right, it's relevance. It's not popularity, it's relevance. And while relevance is still important, it's now being driven by popularity, if I understood it right. And I tried to get her to clarify. I did not put it in those base terms, but that what's driving relevance now is if you and I are talking about it, that's the most relevant. It wasn't supposed to be that way, because that's not theoretically always relevant, and we could talk about it over and over and over again. If we were the only 3 people in the universe, right, and we talked about, I don't know, we talked about this hard drive with respect to storage, is that the most relevant discussion about storage? I don't know, but it's what we talked about the most, and that's driving things, and if I understood it right, that kind of view of the web is going to be driving things, whether or not you say it's from social, whether or not you say it's from marketing. I don't know. Is that, and there is no – I don't know if we can say it's, if it's right or wrong.
I get what you're saying. I'm not a SEO guru at all either, but one thing that I banked on was, write good content. And, you know, it's not like I'm trying to get to the first page of Google because, there's, you know, my niche is so crowded and stopped up that, you know, it's just I don't even want to deal with that mess.
I'm sorry, stopped so up. I was thinking something totally not what you were saying.
Well, I mean, basic principle, yeah. I mean, you can think of it that way. That's basically the way it is. And so, I don't do keywords. I just write. You know, I just write for my reader. But if I'm understanding the new update, is the relevant content is what's going to climb the searches. And really, backlinks aren't going to be, you know, like I said, I'm not the SEO guy, but from my understanding, the more relevant, if people's going to search social media psychology, my site should be up on the first page.
And you know, you have a niche there on the psychology aspect for social media. So I haven't done a search recently, but doesn't it show up on the first page?
You know, I've not checked. I mean, that's how, you know. I don't really care about the changing part of it, but, you know, it's just nice to know that, you know, I could appear on the first page. You know what I'm saying? Yes, I am on the first page.
See, there we go. All right, Wayne.
Right on.
Let's see. Actually, I'm on the first page. It was a guest post I did on another site, so I don't know if that counts.
Maybe they had more juice. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it did, definitely. But I just, you know, what I'm trying to explain and get out is if great content isn't the way that people are going to find you, then what is? You know, I mean, after all, I mean, I read that post, that new SEO by Glenn, and it just, I had to read it two or three times. And I couldn't believe what he was saying. The proof. He didn't just talk about it, but he showed images. He posted images and showed examples of what he was saying. And people are still building spamming links, and they're still, you know, basically you can get around that algorithm. And it's the same as they were doing it before April of 2012, and it sandboxed everybody. It's the same as that. It's just a different technique.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's how much credence you give Google as far as if 100% of your revenue is dependent on Google. Maybe it's time to look for other options as far as getting your name out there.
Yeah, well, I do have a couple of niche sites that, you know, I'm building links to that. So that is relevant on sites other than bloggersmakemoney.com. So, but usually for Bloggers Make Money, I don't consciously build links at all to that site.
And you still do well. See, there you go. Whatever it is you're doing, Wade, it's working well.
Must be doing well.
I just thought it was interesting, you know, for the people that are into the SEO aspect of it and that side of the marketing, you know, I thought that was interesting. You can read that. It's viperchill.com/new-SEO and get blown away just like I was.
Yeah, I've got it up here. I'm going to check it out as soon as I get off here. I think the whole thing is interesting. I think apparently, at least some people are theorizing that you determine relevance by whether or not people are sharing it. When I say talking
relevance
about
by popularity,
sharing, mm-hmm. Yeah, relevance by popularity, and that was not the game when we got in. I remember reading that popularity will not determine your search rankings. Now, did I hear that directly from SEO said, that's what everybody said when you got involved. And in a broad sense, right, I can only talk anecdotally. Social media theoretically has changed what's relevant. We're now saying that if Charles, Wade, and Deborah are the only people in the universe and we talk about something and share it among each other, that means that we think it's cool. That means we think it's worthy of discussion, And what we need to have in the search results is what people find worthy of discussion. Now, the problem is, and Deborah and I talked about this on Marketing Momentum last time, what happens, right? Now, you know, you're a little younger than I am, Wade, but what happens when you have a gallbladder attack? Well, you go to the internet, right? You go to the internet and you go to the search engines and you try to find a natural remedy. Right, especially when you are on the $5 million deductible plan, health plan, right? So you go to the search engine and you look for a natural remedy. And I do not want to see what people find, what people are talking about necessarily. I want to find the best result. And so it doesn't have to be what everybody's sharing. It doesn't have to be somebody who figure out how to game the social part of it, right? Because, I mean, I just even found out now, I was talking to somebody today about what's Empire Avenue. Well, Empire Avenue is a way for me to get a bunch of people to like my blog post, right? Real people. But does that game the system? So now that means that if I'm looking at, you know, what's at the top of the search engine for a gallbladder attack, am I getting the best result, or am I getting the result of people who have sent a gazillion billion people from Empire Avenue to go like the post? And if that's the case, it's not cool.
It's just people manipulating. And as long as there is a search engine to manipulate, people will continue to do that. And one thing that I like about that article was he talks about black hat, white hat SEO. Everybody's heard of those. But what he said really, really hit home with me. Who cares if it's black hat? Who cares if it's white hat? People are still trying to manipulate the search engines to do what they want it to do.
And they're successful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like what you said. If somebody was having a gallbladder attack, and I just so happened to have a gallbladderattack.com domain, and I've built hundreds of thousands of links to that site and to all kinds of affiliate links, I'm not helping that person, you know.
It sounds like a whole another focus. Maybe even next week we could talk about SEO and relevancy and popularity and the impact.
Yeah, well, I didn't mean to throw that wrench in there. It just kind of upset me a little bit. You know, you'll have to read that article. It's really good.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, I mean, but that's sort of who you are, though, right? I mean, and so what the alternative is, there is no alternative, right? You know, you could probably go and play the game, but ultimately, and this is what I would hope that, I think as Deborah was alluding to, that even if you didn't get found in the search engines, the fact that you're looking to really communicate to people who need to know the truth about making money from a blog, that they'll find you, right? That the right people will find you, and even still, whether or not there's a search engine or not. Because there is no alternative to creating good content. I mean, it's like you have to go over into the – you know what I mean? Even if everything he says is right in the article, there's no alternative, right? There's no real alternative for somebody who does what you do.
Yeah. Yeah, people are going to continue to manipulate the system. And, you know, I agree. You got to keep writing good content because I still have subscribers to my blog that will get that notification every time I publish. And those are the people that I write for, and they share it. And, you know, like you said, there's no other alternative. You can't fight the system. People are going to do what they want to do on it. And whether they get sandboxed or whether they get put to the very first position of Google, you know, in the end, it's my content that's going to help someone that has that question.
And you can feel good about it, Wade, that you've produced quality content. Because I can't see you as – I don't know you really well, but I don't see you as the type of person that says, well, it doesn't work, so therefore I'm going to create a crappy post. That doesn't seem like the way you look at life.
No. I like to – you know, I spend quality time with research and things of that nature. It was just – you know, and I like I said, bloggers make money. I'm still going to do the research. I'm still going to write as best I can, you know, with the knowledge that I have about a topic. And I'm not going to change anything. I'm not going to build links consciously. I know we build links on social media, but, you know, it's just aggravating that I thought that we were done with these manipulators. You know,
I was saying in corporate America, Charles, that's you go around a couple times in corporate America and you realize when you heard your parents say life isn't fair, now you, and I'm not meaning to minimize that at all, Wade. I'm just, life isn't fair, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Well, yeah. Yeah.
Well, thanks, guys. It's been fun.
Yeah.
Right on, definitely.
Subscribe to the Social Web Cafe podcast at socialwebcafe.tv to receive a fresh and free episode of Marketing Momentum every Thursday.